The title of the sharing is simply Witnessing for Him Today. Not tomorrow, because you know what? Tomorrow's not here yet. There's a lot of witnessing that we can do today. And if you think, oh, well, the day's half gone, well, you've got half a day to witness. Okay? I know that I enjoy it at work, on my ministry on the phone, and wherever I'm at. Real quick, the other day, Shakti and I were at Costco. She went her way. I went mine. Guess where I was at? Where the clothes are. Anyway, there was a lady folding the clothes and putting them back where they belong. And I was walking past her. I got like 3 feet past her. And God said, go pray for her. And I actually it was clear as a bell. I turn around and I go up to her and I say, excuse me. She goes, yes. And I usually say, can I pray for you? Or is there something I can pray for? No, I said, God told me to pray for you. And she looked at me with a big smile. Okay. So I prayed for her, and it was such a sweet, sweet time. And I walked away, and I had these chills, and I said, Father, thanks for stopping me. So it's all about witnessing. Now, witnessing is speaking some information as a testimony of someone or something. Do we have someone we can witness for? We've got two, Jesus Christ and the Father, right? So we have a great message to share. Would you agree? A great message. Almighty God has given us a responsibility, privilege, and honor to witness His life-saving word. The last three, His life-saving word. Okay? A lot of people aren't aware of that until you witness to them and let them know. So, we should reach out to a lost and broken world. And let me stop right there. Sometimes you and I are lost and broken. It's not just the other guys. Sometimes we're lost and broken. So what do we need? One of our brothers or sisters in Christ to witness to us the word of God that's apropos to wherever we're at. So a lot of times we hear, oh, to a lost and broken world, you're thinking of those guys on the outside. Hey, it happens in God's family, and that's why God's given us his word. Be loving and kind to one another. Most recently, we've been talking about this harvest outreach, okay, and getting some people together who are interested in doing just that, all right? Even if you don't participate, you can still pray for the rest of us. That's always very, very profitable to witness God's word to those in our community with the love of God. That has to be in the forefront of your witnessing, the love of God, all right? We've learned from God's wonderful word. And that is to speak the love of God. We're going to see the significance of a well, you know, where you lower the rope in a bucket and pull up water. I never looked at it or saw it in this light, but I'll share that with you in a moment. But we're going to see the significance of a well in the times of the Bible when Jesus, who is the most loving example of being a witness for the Father, witnessed to a Samaritan woman. I know you're familiar with the record, but we're still going to look at it. But a lot of people don't look at Jesus that way. But he was a great witness. He was the best witness to the Father. And what did he get for all that? Put him on a tree. But he knew what he was doing, and he had the joy in doing that. Okay? People said, that doesn't make sense. Oh, it does. Because look where we're at today. So, a well symbolizes, here's what a well symbolizes, a thriving community. A well symbolizes a thriving community, and this is as good a place as any for Jesus Christ to witness to someone. In this case, it was the Samaritan woman. So, if you would like, please go to John 4:4. And in John 4:4, I'll be reading the NLT, by the way. It starts by saying, he had to go through Samaria on the way. Now, this on the way, Jesus was traveling all the way from Jerusalem, not on the bus. He didn't call Uber. It was walking. It was walking. And I don't think he had Nikes on, but either way, it was tiresome, and he still made the trip. 5, eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. I don't know about you, but if I had walked all that way, I would not be sitting by a pile of sand. It'd be by somewhere where I can get a drink. And a well is as good a place as any. And it was noontime, the warmest part of the day. Verse 7, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. Yes. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. Okay, you guys who are married, you might know this one because I've done this quite a bit. When I take Shati to a grocery store or somewhere to buy something, some of the times the question I pose to her is, sweetheart, do I have to get down? And when she says no, I'm going, oh. So I just chill and wait for her. Well, the disciples went on to the village to a Vons or Albertsons to buy some stuff. Jesus said, I'm going to hang out by this well because I know that there's water here. The woman was surprised, for Judeans refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, hey, you are a Judean, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? It's a fair question. This is what Jesus said. If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water, not Perrier, not sparkless, living water. The woman says, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket. She said, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? Another honest question. And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he has and his sons and animals enjoyed? Well, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. It goes on, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Look, we all get thirsty at times, and I'm saying this figuratively, for help. But what better place to go to than God's word? What better example to witness than Jesus Christ? He was letting her know that when you come to me for your needs in my name, you will not be out there on the outside wanting to know where you're going to get this drink or where you're going to get this food. The bread of life Jesus Christ was offering, the drink that would take away thirstiness from here on out, leading up to eternal life, was offered. And verse 15, please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water. So, I would like to associate the wells of biblical times to maybe, a Starbucks, okay? The Starbucks of today seems to be people's caffeine watering hole. And let me tell you, they've got plenty of clientele that come in there. They've even got drive-through Starbucks. Christ told the woman, if you drink of the water I give you, you shall never what? Thirst again. Well, I don't know if you could say that to someone at a Starbucks. If you drink the Frappuccino I give you, you will never be thirsty for coffee again. But it's a good place to witness to people, speaking of the Starbucks, as we will be doing later on with the Harvest Outreach, okay? Here's a side note as far as those wells that I mentioned earlier go in God's Word. And for this, would you please go to Genesis chapter 26 and verse 12. Genesis 26 and verse 12. When Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. That's a good source to get blessed by. He became a very rich man his wealth continued to grow. So let me stop there. He already had all this stuff. He was super blessed by God. But the word says he continued to grow. When is enough enough? When God says so. But in the meantime, take his blessings. 14. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle and servants, that the Philistines became jealous of him. Isn't that human nature? Isn't that human nature? So the Philistines filled up all of Isaac's wells with dirt. Nice. That's so nice of them. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father Abraham. Finally, Abimelech ordered Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else, he said, for you have become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away to the Gerar Valley, where he set up their tents and settled down. He reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the names Abraham had given them. So these wells must have been very important because they were given names. Hey, one Starbucks, the next one is still a Starbucks. But here, the wells were given specific names, which we'll see. So they must have been a big deal. Like I said, they represented a thriving community. Okay, you need water, right? So verse 19 goes on and says, Isaac's servants also dug in Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. But then the shepherds from Gerar, here they come, came and claimed the spring. This is our water, they said. And they argued over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named the well Essek, which means argument. What a name for a well, right? Hey, I'm going to go over to argument and pull up some water. Verse 21, Isaac's men then dug another well. But again, there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named it Sitna, which means hostility. Another name for another well. Verse 22. Abandoning that one, Isaac moved on and dug another well. This time, there was no dispute over it. So Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space, which means a new Starbucks has been opened. Open 24/7. For he said, at last the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. Go down to verse 25, please. That's our God. That's our God. He's never out of resources. Verse 25 says, then Isaac built an altar there and worshiped the Lord. And why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? When God opens up a well for us in our lives, we give him praise. We thank him, and we just accept his goodness. The rest of the verse goes on. He set up his camp at that place, and his servants dug another, what do you think? Well. So that's a little bit about wells and the significance of them. Thought that would be interesting to look at. Now, back to more witnessing. As we'll see, John the Baptist was witnessing his testimony. And a testimony is a declaration, okay? And a witness is a person. So we witness declaration from God's word. That's what we do. So, as it was, he spoke of Jesus Christ to the people. Go to John chapter 1, please, in verse 6. John 1:6. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. So John the Baptist was doing a little witnessing on his own. He was spreading the news about this light that's on the way. Verse 8. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. My brothers and sisters, that's what we are today. We're a witness to tell about the light. We're a witness to tell about God's goodness. We're a witness to take people from death to life. This is what we do. There's nothing more important than that. nothing. So do not hold back when the opportunity presents itself, whether we're with Harvest Outreach or you're by your lonesome. Speak with a clear voice the love of God to those people around you. Verse 9. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, including us today, was coming into the world. What amazing news to hear. So, here we're going to see how Paul is to know God's will and to be a witness for the Lord. And for this, please turn to Acts chapter 22, starting in verse 12. Acts 22 and verse 12. A man named Ananias lived there. He was a godly man, deeply devoted to the law, and well regarded by all the Judeans of Damascus. He came and stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, regain your sight." So what does that tell us? He must have been blind. Okay, he wasn't born blind, but he became blind, and that's a whole other story. But yet, Ananias ministered to him right then and there. Boom, his sight was restored whole. And at that very moment, I could see him. Exclamation point. Verse 14. Then he told me, "The God of our ancestors has chosen you to know his will and to see the righteousness one and hear him speak." Isn't that what we want in our lives? Isn't that what we want in our lives? To hear him speak. How do I know God's talking to me? You'll know. Because when his spirit talks to your spirit, it's not about who to put your money on in a ball game. It's about something that you know is profitable. You know in your heart of hearts when God is speaking to you. And verse 15. "For you are to be his witness." We are to be his witness. Telling everyone what you have seen and heard. We know that we believe first and we see later, but we hear instantly from God when he's talking to you. God talks to our hearts because that's the best way to communicate. Not to your mind and your opinions, but to your heart. When you tell someone that you love very much, you're telling them from your heart to theirs. God's doing the very same thing on a grander scale. This word of God has passed through many generations, including our generation and the ones to come. And we have been given the honor, like I said, and privilege to witness for our Father today. Today. So, let's each one win one. Remember, we plant the seeds and the water, and our Almighty God causes the increase. So what are we holding back from? We've got fertile land in front of us. We want our harvest to be plenteous, and it is. It is. It just takes us to go and harvest this good fruit and help those around us. So my encouragement to me and you guys is when the opportunity presents itself to witness, my goodness, get out there and speak. Hallelujah and amen. I'm having a t-shirt made, which I can make for you later, but I'm doing it because, and pun isn't intended, it's going to say in the front, "Prayers on call." And on the back, it's going to say, "Amen." So I love you guys, and I'm thankful for your input when it comes to doing our Father's business, and that's witnessing his beautiful word. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunities we have, and help us not to miss them, Father. Help us to recognize those clearly when there's someone out there that may or may not be reaching out to us, but you point them to us, that we can witness your love, your healing love and power to them, so that they can be a part of this family that we're a part of. Once upon a time, someone witnessed to us. So I thank you for that honor and privilege to do this in Jesus' wonderful name. And they all said, Amen.